Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. I'd like to thank the sponsor for our program, and that is Growmark, locally owned, globally strong. This week, we're going to do, have an Ag Nerd discussion with one of my good friends, Willie Vogt. And Willie, for people who don't know you or know you well, tell us what you're doing these days.
Well, I'm the editorial director at Penn Farm Progress, and Chuck, it's good to talk to you. Penn Farm Progress is the publisher of several state and regional farm magazines, as well as Farm Futures, Farm Industry News, Corn and Soybean Digest, and I work with those folks and try and get quality content out to farmers.
Well, I know that a big part of what you work on during the year is new technology, something that has fascinated me before I ever even got into the agricultural sector, for that matter. But let's talk about this here at the end of the year, and we're going to look back and look ahead a little bit and start out with what we call ag gadgets. And frankly, that is a broad term that can apply to things that non-farm people use, but maybe they use for agricultural purposes. But what are some of the things you've seen this year that you think are have been the most popular, and that could just be maybe the most discussed and talked about at conferences? That I know we've both been to a lot of those.
Well, I think to step back a little bit, I think one of the things that I try and keep in mind is that one of the mergings is it's not just ag anymore. You know, ag had its own stuff and other people had their own things, and now they've kind of merged a little bit. And I think the first thing is, in the past year, although it's been evolving for a while, this is really the year that everybody got a smartphone. That I want to do stuff mobile, I want to do stuff with a handheld, and I don't want to be tied to my office. So, and the advent of the iPhone 6 and the Galaxy S4 and some of those big high-end platforms for managing your information and keeping up with what's going on has just been huge, I think, for the way guys can keep up with their farms and what they're doing in their operations. And then you add in that many of their suppliers, you name them, Monsanto, Pioneer, John Deere, Case IH, they're using the internet as the way to get things back and forth. And, you know, you can look at all the stuff right on your iPad or on your iPhone or your smartphone. And so there's this convergence going on in data access, and we can talk about data ownership later, I'd rather not. But in terms of just the way the technology works and the way that I can interface and get to things in ways I never thought of before, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw a story, I believe it was yesterday, that Lou Dobbs, of all people, was interviewed about technology, and he actually monitors, I didn't know he was a horse guy, but he monitors his horses anytime he wants from wherever he is with an app on his phone, because he's got about 20 cameras, I guess, mounted out around his horse farm, and he can watch them. And, you know, when it comes to foaling time or whatever, it's a whole lot better, he says, than having to walk out there every hour or two in the middle of the night when it's freezing cold.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that makes sense. And I know, a story I heard last year, I was with a couple of farmers in the past year, and, using machinery monitoring technology, and when this farmer knows his rep's coming out from the manufacturer to visit the farm, he doesn't tell him what farm he's on. He'll tell him what tractor he's in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's given his rep permission to know where his machines are in the operation, so the rep goes right to the machine based on GPS data.
Yeah. This is absolutely amazing. And like you said, it's this new mobile technology primarily driven by internet access, which, you know, we still have locations that have some issues with that, becoming fewer and far between. I just installed a system at my brother's place. He's got a small farm up in Georgia with a company called Airstone, but they have essentially a hub, they call it, that connects to your router, and boy, it gives a signal line of sight like miles out over a piece of property.
Yeah, and you can daisy chain those?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've talked to those guys, and you can daisy chain those. And if you wanted to maximize, if you had a good pipe coming to the farm, and you wanted to maximize your internet pipe coming into the farm, a technology like Airstone or a really high-end Wi-Fi router would be an excellent investment. Yeah. Because one of the challenges, you know, we talk about this, bandwidth is an issue, but in areas where you've got bandwidth, then you should maximize the bandwidth. I mean, I live in a luxury land. I have a cable modem, and I have 60 megabit down and 30 megabit up service. I mean, that's just, I expect that. In the country, you're lucky to get two down and one up, that kind of thing. So, well, you know, one of the technologies we've talked about, and we joke about this as being a technology, if FAA would get out of our way, it would be a technology, is this drone technology and how guys are using that. I mean, we're talking on a public podcast, and so our farmer friends are using it as a hobby device from which they do not charge, but they are starting to gather information on their own land, and they're very excited about what they see.
Well, and there are, besides just farmers, there are quite a few companies who are experimenting, with how they might be able to, whether it is, infrared type data or whatever that is, capture that data. And, at least at this point, by the time we find out what the FAA is actually going to do or decide to do, they're going to be ahead of the game, and I hate to say it, but having talked to some folks that I know over in Europe, but we're almost a little behind on this part of the technology game right now.
We're farther than a little behind.
Yeah.
They're using it over there, and they have the Japanese. They don't even spray rice with people anymore.
Yeah.
They use a Yamaha helicopter. But so when we, I always get this question, you've asked a good question, but that's the ag nerd, what is the tech? And I still get excited about the cloud, but I also get excited about tablets because everybody, frankly, if you don't own a tablet and you're trying to run your farm today, you're going to need to make that investment because you can pick your tablet. I mean, since everything's web-based now, it works on anything. So whether you like Android or you like Windows or you like the iPad, that's an investment for your farm, and they just passed a tax extender. So if you take advantage of, if you take possession of the iPad before the end of the year, you can write it off. So
yeah, that I think probably was something a lot of people went, hooray. Of course,
I know
it
did.
Would be nice if it was not extended for just, what was this?
2 weeks.
Because we're going to have to go through this whole process of wanting to get these extensions again, and it's like, why don't you just make these things permanent or something, But it's another story. So on the tablet side, and I think when you use the word convergence, this can even apply to the idea that what we knew as smartphones, as tablets, as notebook computers, it's getting hard to distinguish between those areas. And I know that there are people kind of wondering, do I get a phablet, something like, an iPhone 6 Plus or maybe one of the big Samsung phones, or and there's others, or do I go ahead and get my smartphone but then pick out a tablet to go along with that? I don't know that there is really one device that would satisfy everything that everybody would want, but there are some people probably for whom the right gadget could perform enough functionality for them, because that screen size, I think, is really important when you're trying to look at images, like in the case of some precision ag applications, when you're trying to look at maps. I mean, I'm not sure I'd really get much out of looking at one on a little tiny screen versus a full-size either notebook screen or even a big tablet.
Well, I'm a big fan of appropriate technology appropriately applied. And the story I like to tell is I was speaking at a meeting about a year and a half ago, and I talked about smartphones. And after the meeting, an older farmer comes up to me, it's not about his age, but he comes up and he pulls his phone out of his pocket, and it's one of those bulletproof flip phones. You've seen those.
Right.
You can throw that baby against the wall, nothing's going to happen. He says, "This is my phone." I go, "Well, how do you keep up with email when you're in the field?" He says, "Oh, I got an iPad in the cab of the tractor." So the smartphone, if the phone is, if you want to, and there are guys that are like this, if you're going to use the phone as a phone, get a phone. And if you're going to do email, get something that's a better email appliance. Now, the average age of the farmer today is 58 and a half. I believe that's the latest census numbers. And frankly, a smartphone is a hard place to work on email when you have farmer hands from hard work.
Exactly what you're saying.
And so the iPad or the Samsung Galaxy tablet, and as you know, I'm a mini advocate for the Microsoft Surface Pro 3, which I have, that I use for work now. But anything like that where the screen is bigger, I can see things and I can type better, those make those things easier to use. And I think it's interesting, one thing to kind of get a sense of for any of the Agners listening to this, I came up to this business starting at Windows 3.1, dating myself. And you would get a, you would have to write a story about such and such accounting software when Windows XP came out. We literally advised farmers for a year not to buy Windows XP or upgrade because none of their software would work.
Right.
So we had to wait. And then when, you know, today that's not a problem.
Well,
if I'm using Case IH AFS Connect 2.0, or I'm using John Deere My John Deere, or I'm using FarmWorks, all that stuff is web-based now.
Right.
So they can, I can use any computer and any software system as long as I've got a current browser, current Chrome, current Explorer, whatever, no problem. The software works.
Well, and that is, how do I say this? It is a game changer in a way because we look at it from a media standpoint that there's editing software that we need, and we're kind of the same thing. Cindy is going to be shortly getting a new desktop PC to use here at the home office, and you know, if I'm going to put her on the newest Windows, the software she uses, which is on the hard drive, doesn't work on it. But as you're saying, it does have a cloud version you could subscribe to, and I think that's probably a direction we're going to have to go. And then you just don't have to worry about things like that anymore.
I agree. I mean, that's the cloud. I mean, a good example, and this is another tech I would suggest farmers consider, and this is a nerdy thing too, but I'm using Microsoft Office 365. So for personal, I don't have it for work, but for personal. So my iPad has Office on it, my Surface has Office on it, and my Mac has Office on it. And if I do it right, and I save all the files in the Microsoft OneDrive that came with that subscription, I actually did this. I started a document on my iPad on an airplane. When I got a web connection, I saved it to the OneDrive, and later I edited it on my Surface Pro 3 to get it ready to use in a magazine. I can work anywhere, on anything.
It's great.
And it's the most current of vision. So what does that mean to a farmer? Your yield maps are saved, and we won't get into the data ownership thing, but, you know, the Farm Bureau and John Deere and Climate Corporation, Monsanto, and many people are all on the board with this agreement about control and ownership now. That issue is going away, and guys need to get on board with what cloud should I get with and how should I make it work, because it's going to be a big deal next year.
Right.
And that's, I think, the next big thing. Once we get over this data ownership thing, and I was with some farmers, a couple of guys yesterday, talking about this, and they're finding that once customers get comfortable with this control issue, they want to use this. They want to beam data from the combine when they finish. They want to beam that yield data to their agronomist, and then they get the agronomist to send the fertilizer prescription back, and they're in the field maybe that afternoon to apply fall fertilizer. That's how cool this stuff is.
Yeah, one thing I want to mention here as we're looking at the mobile technology is the fact that they do need to be powered, and depending on where you are and you know, what you're doing, it is, I think, prudent, to say the least, from a business standpoint, to make sure that, you know, whether it's in your truck or wherever, like in my case, a bag like you carry, that there are so many options for mobile power now. I've got a new kind of it's a power bank. This thing is a little large, it's a little heavy, but it carries enough juice to literally power my iPad. I think it can power the iPad up to like 5 times.
Wow.
My phone like 15 times. It's massive, and it's not, I mean, it'll fit inside of a bag fairly conveniently, but you know, you've got little tiny ones that look about the size of a lipstick case for the women farmers out there. They probably come in pink, too, but...
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
I'm sure they do, but...
But, you know, I think the other option on that, and this is the part that I think is one thing, you, when you farm, you're always near some kind of DC power.
Yeah.
Usually your pickup, your tractor, your combine, your ATV. You know, there's a cigarette plug in somewhere. And guess what? This is the ag nerd part I don't like. I carry a bag of cords now.
Yeah. It's spaghetti. I got a lot of spaghetti.
Yeah. So what I'm hoping, and I'm looking around, is some rechargeable cords that come on rewindable things so they don't tangle. It hasn't happened yet. I'm not seeing it, but I'm hoping for that. So that would be the next big thing for me in 2015 because literally, the nice thing is, though, most of my devices are charging on the mini USB.
Yeah, right.
So I'm getting down to where one cord for all those devices and then, of course, my iPhone cord because it's a Lightning connection, so that's different. But those are the things that frustrate us, though, Chuck, and the things that make owning and running technology a challenge. Because even the Surface Pro 3 has another kind of cord I got to carry. But then again, I'm carrying a camera, a video camera with one kind of cord, and a still camera with another kind of cord. So, yeah, I look like an electric power and light company.
Well, I do have a drawstring bag that I have stuffed this in.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I've also found and bought a couple of these from Cocoon, a company that makes bags and other things. But they're like a little... almost like a plate kind of thing with crisscross hatching stretchable bands on it. And you can, you roll them up and you just twist them and stick them all in there. You just got to remember to stick them back in there, you know, if you want to carry them around. Otherwise, they start cluttering up again.
yeah, that's for sure. But, I think one of the exciting things, the other thing you talk about power, and that brought up something else I think is kind of a neat gadget. This past year, and this is tools, a little bit on the techie side of the tool business, is just the rise of the lithium battery in power tools. If it's a power tool, it can be run by a lithium battery. We're talking circular saws, impact drills, you name it. You can run it with a lithium battery, which is excellent. You charge it in the shop, you head out to the field, and you do some fence work. You don't have to have a cable. And, even I know some guys carry generators in the back of their pickups for this. But this, and even that's nice because you can charge the spare battery while you're out doing some work. But, I've seen rechargeable giant Bluetooth worksite speakers that you can run your music through for the crew if you want to do that. And we're seeing some of that kind of stuff. We actually feature that in one of those in Farm Industry News. I think the rise of the lithium-ion battery as a power source is exciting. For, no more eliminating some cords, I guess.
Yeah. I know we just built a pole barn on our hunting lease, and we had generators there, but there was four or five of us working. We've all got, and the brand is DeWalt, but we all share the same batteries even, So we had, 12 batteries there that were all charged when we got on site that we could share between even devices, that I think is something that, again, is making the job easier on the tool side. And something I was going to ask you, your thought on, again, getting back to an ag tool side,
right,
on the precision area, is just your thoughts on, we've seen a lot of improvements on, monitors for, different companies. Do you foresee the time when, we'd already now have mounts for tablets in combines, in tractors, et cetera, but what about the idea of companies being able to develop themselves to the point where, as a farmer, I can use one monitor, i.e. maybe an iPad, for various different devices from different companies. Do you see something like that possibly happening?
Actually, I do. I've had a conversation. AGCO is retooling their precision ag control system in the next 2 or 3 years, and I talked to them about the monitor problem because it's a problem for me. And actually, if you look with ISOBUS connections, all of the major monitors, the Pro 700 at Case, the 2630 from Deere, have some connectivity so that you can run implements off of those from a single monitor, which is excellent because it's like, oh, look, I bought a new planter and I have to put another monitor in here. But right. If it's an ISOBUS planter, you don't have to. You plug it into the ISOBUS connector on the tractor and it'll come up on the screen that's already in the cab. But I talked to a guy at AGCO at the Farm Progress Show about their new system as they move forward, their Fuse technologies, and they believe that eventually it'll BYOB, bring your own device, BYOD, excuse me. BYOB, that's a different thing on a Friday, but BYOD is a bring your own device thing where the farmer would install, but just, you know, plug in his iPad and his data would be recorded there. And then, of course, with a data connection, you could put it in the cloud and it would be all software run. Because remember, it's all software now. In the old days, a lot of these monitors were manual. They were flip switches and lights. Now it's all firmware and then software for controllers. And I was looking at one monitor. Deere's got a new monitor with new software, their new software and controlling equipment. The interface looks like a smartphone. It's got buttons like app buttons, and you click on those and find out what you want to do. Right. So, yeah, I do see a day when a centralized monitor, although I'm excited, I would be as excited as if that thing was actually integrated into the cabin. It was like a heads-up display.
Yeah.
And you just tap the you tap the glass and get what you wanted, and it's still one monitor. So anything that gets me to a single monitor makes me happy.
Going even a step further, the kind of last thing I wanted to bring up here is wearables, or what we might call wearables.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. I like wearables. I want to see where we're going. I'm interested in the iWatch or whatever they're going to call that thing. Microsoft just failed with one that they brought out of the blue, and it's not going very well on the watch side. The Google Glass, I know you and I play with Google Glass. I know you play with it a lot more than most of us. It's sliding. Interest in the Google Glass is waning, and we're not sure why.
To me, there's several reasons. One,
they're expensive.
The cost. I mean, the cost is prohibitive for anybody except, like in my case, I really just wanted to have it as a, we'll call it an investment in my business to see if this could be something part of my workflow as an ag journalist out in the field to replace some other devices and allow me to be hands-free, because I see that as one of the key elements of it. But I think it's sliding because they've talked for over a year of having a product that is going to be available for, quote, the masses. And we're not there yet. I don't even know if we're even close to there yet. When we're here at the end of 2015, it has its negatives, as you might expect from any prototype device, but I think the buzz grew to a pretty, you know, feverish pitch, and then it's just drizzled away, and I'm not even seeing a whole lot about it much anymore. So I'm curious to know. Everything I keep getting told by some folks I know that claim to be in the know is that this is very much in the process of reaching this culmination of when it's going to come out, but like just about everything else we're talking about, it's going to be what are the applications and how will they integrate into a system we've already got. And in this case, I'm thinking in terms of like maybe what you're saying, I'm actually not even in my cab, but I can control my monitor and its functions through the thing I'm wearing on my face, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's an interesting issue because it has a sci-fi comic book thing going for it that is kind of exciting. But when we talk about these wearables, I'm confused and concerned about them. How many Bluetooth connections can be active on my phone at once? So, in other words, if I've got the iWatch turned on and I'm collecting data there from activity and I want to be able to see things on the phone so I don't take the phone out of my pocket, that's great. But if I'm also listening to my Bluetooth headphones, which I use regularly, does that mean I have to unhook the watch from the phone? I mean, it's dumb things like that frustrate guys who don't want to mess around with this stuff at all.
Yeah.
It's got to be like you ought to be able to go, Siri, hook my watch up and my Bluetooth headphones up and make everything work.
Right.
Now. And that's what's going to happen with Google Glass. I mean, Google Glass, when the display is better and the cost is lower, but, you know, when you turn it on, you had to turn on both your data plan and your Bluetooth on your phone.
Exactly.
And that would infect that would have been a problem for me, because the minute I turn on the data, my phone as a data device, I lose my unlimited data access. Because I will get throttled. But then again, we could talk about how eventually I'm going to go to Verizon anyway, picking on a brand. Because AT&T, as I have told you before, and this will be, everybody listening to this should know this, AT&T is a wonderful device if you live in the city. And if you look at their data, they cover 98% of the population of the United States. Does anybody know what the population of agriculture is in the United States? 2%. And that's where AT&T isn't.
I agree. And that's why
I've got one of these. And when you're in Eastern Iowa, my phone works better in Port-au-Prince, Haiti than it does in Eastern Iowa.
And that is the main and only reason I carry. I've got a Verizon account. I've got my AT&T iPhone. I've got my Verizon Samsung S4 Mini, you know. And it's because, and I've got hotspot data plans with both of them. In fact, actually, at this point, because they had both had deals where I could get one of the little hotspot devices, you know.
That's what I use.
That just shares the data plan you've got, but doesn't use your phone, so you're not using your phone battery.
Yeah, that's nice.
But still, I can do all of the above. But literally, that is why I do see from what I would say generally the rural area, and this includes not just people that are pure farming, but Verizon's going to be a better deal, generally speaking, you know.
Yeah, they have the network, although there's some issues on the pricing. I just read a story about they're losing, because in the city they're losing the Metro customer to T-Mobile and Sprint, who are offering amazing deals in the city. So hopefully, I'm hoping that Verizon will become competitive, but I have another year on my contract before I can get a sick iPhone 6. So I'll be living with this 5S on AT&T for one more year. But I have a hotspot from Verizon, and when I'm in the country, when I need to work in the country, it always works. So it's great.
There you go. So let's talk about Christmas, because we're at Christmas season. I think I already know the answer for this, but anything that was kind of on your ag gadget wish list for Christmas this year?
Well, I buy everything, so like you, I buy it before I ask for it. So that's kind of my problem. I got nothing I want. I mean, I think it's if I was gonna on the list wish list, it would be a new tablet, because if I don't have one, I should get one. If you don't have a smartphone, you should get one. If you this is going to sound archaic, but if you haven't upgraded your laptop in 4 or 5 years, you need to go look.
Yeah.
Because there are laptops out there that are tablets.
Yeah, you
mentioned going to buy one device and do the work of two things and do all the things you want to do.
Yeah.
And that's what's coming in terms of that. So that's the gadgets that we all like to hear, you know, the fun stuff. Otherwise, for me, it's like headphones. Listen to music.
I love my new IQs from Bose. They're not Bluetooth, but they're actually a better sound isolating, or whatever you want to call it, than the old cover your ear ones that I had.
So are these the ones that go in your ears?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I want to get next. That's on my wish list. Is because I like noise canceling. When you fly, and not a lot of our ag nerd listeners fly, but if you fly, you can't listen to regular headphones. I don't know how people do it.
Well, you need noise
canceling, or you can't hear what's on your, you know.
Yeah, and depending how quiet your cab might be, depending on how the seal is, let's say, maybe, it could possibly be an advantage.
It's a good investment, because the one nice thing about it is the active noise canceling, even in a really quiet cab, it's going to be improved. And the Bose IQ you're talking about, they work. They're a microphone.
Yeah.
So when you get a call, you can still take the call.
Exactly.
I mean, I use a Bluetooth headset to work out or mow my lawn. It depends on the time of day. And I'll take calls off of that when I'm working out. And, you know, it's great, because they're in my ears and I can hear you. So that's important, too. But I'm a big fan of Bluetooth headphones. And that brings up a good point. If you have a smartphone and you are not using a Bluetooth headset, and I'm not talking about being hands-free and safe on the highway, sometimes it's a safety thing.
Right.
If you have that Bluetooth headset or your cell phone with you, you're always connected. If something happens with the Bluetooth headset, even if your phone is separate from you but within 30 feet of you, you can make a call on it.
Right.
So So say if something happens and you get trapped somewhere and you've got a Bluetooth headset with you and your phone is nearby and you've got a signal, you can make that call and get help. And we had a situation where I had a situation where a farmer had something trap him in a machine, and the damage wasn't bad. He recovered. But my nephew was telling me this story, and the guy just happened to have his phone in his pocket. Mm. And he was able to make a call. But it occurred to me that if you happen to leave your phone in the cab and you're walking around the tractor and something happens and you have a Bluetooth headset in, you could still make a call. And they're not expensive. The good ones are $100. Right. That's the ones I use. Exactly. But they're not that expensive.
I saw another interesting device that I think would be of interest to an ag audience. It's called SkyBell. Just like it sounds, S-K-Y Bell. I think SkyBell.com. Basically, it's a new doorbell. It's got a camera in it. Put it on your door.
Oh, yeah.
There's an app for your phone. And let's just say you're in the barn, but somebody knocks on the, rings the bell on the front door. You can actually click, see who's at the door. You can talk to them, and they can talk back to you through this device.
Nice.
And you're not even there. Seems like, it could have some security applications there and just inconvenience as well. So there's all kinds of neat technology coming out that maybe is first directed at a general consumer audience, but has sometimes just as much application to farmers, and maybe in some different ways than the company ever thought when they built their device,
Right. And well, on these web-enabled cams, if I live in the city, but if I was in the country and at a farmyard, I'd have three or four of those things set up and powered up all the time, because you can check on stuff, whether it's livestock or just the farmyard.
Right.
That's important.
Right.
So it's coming up. And again, it's all about the web connection. So I guess the first thing I would wish for my Christmas list is that we could buy the best and fastest web connection for the farm we can find. And I recommend farmers recheck what's available for their farm every 3 or 4 years, because it does change.
Yeah, or even more often. I'm glad you mentioned that.
I'm just getting them to move the needle, Chuck.
Yeah, I know. But I'll tell you, this has happened to me now several times. With your phone plan, smartphone plan, AT&T, it doesn't matter who it is. If I try to call about once a quarter now, because I've learned this, you call and you say, what kind of deals are you offering right now? Well, Mr. Zimmerman, we're looking at your account, and you know what? For no extra charge, we can add 8 gigabytes of data to your data plan. It's a special we got right now. Really? There's no fee? We'll just add it to your plan. Boom, I just got 8 free extra gig of data on my shared data plan for my phone. Stuff like that kind of drives me crazy. It's like, well, why didn't you let me know?
Well, they're not going to offer you anything. You got to go out and get it. And that's the one thing about the cell service and the DSL services and all those. You got to call and get it. So, once a quarter, every 6 months, if a guy's got time, if you're comfortable, but you'd like to check every now and then, once a year is enough.
Yeah.
But it's Christmas. It might be a good time to call.
Might get an early present.
Well,
before we finish here, last thing, and you kind of hit on this already, but looking ahead to 2015, just some of your thoughts on what you think we're going to be, maybe let's call it, we may be doing stories about, but our audience is going to be finding growing interest in when it comes to some of the new gadgets and things that are going to help them out on the farm.
Well, I'm still trying to – we run a monthly app column, one app at a time. We don't tell about all the apps because there's too many, but we try and focus on that. I think that what we're going to be writing about more of next year is just more tools that use the technology we've acquired. In the old days, everything was specialized. If you bought a piece of equipment, it worked – only did one thing. But now when you're talking about the technology we're talking about – I've got 100 apps, not that many, it's probably 30 apps on my iPad to do different things, but they're all on one device.
Right.
So I think we'll be writing more about making that more efficient. We've got tools now that we University of Missouri, we have one on weed identification. We're going to get better at using those tools. We're writing about that. I think we're going to be writing about decision-making tools like standing in the middle of the field, pulling up a yield map, pulling up a soil map, and saying, and then putting in a couple of parameters and saying, okay, these are the five hybrids that are the best for this field.
Right.
And those tools are making it easier for guys to pick just the right stuff at just the right time. And that's going to change the way they farm. And I think we'll hear more about that. We didn't even talk about electric planters, and I don't want to get into that now, but that's becoming a big deal too. I mean, it's on the big equipment, the equipment that's out there, the types of technologies that make them smoother riding, higher efficiency, better for doing what they do best, you know, pulling, hauling, driving, planting, harvesting. That stuff's come a long way,
yeah.
And it's all exciting.
I didn't want to get into the kind of like specific apps too much because, you know, just a couple years ago, there were maybe a handful. Now there are so many of them that it's I don't even know how many there are at this point.
I don't either, but I know that if you search them right, you can find just what you need for your operation.
Yeah.
And guys need to get comfortable with the Google Play Store and iTunes and the App Store, so because that's where you'll find stuff.
So maybe, you know, like an iTunes gift card for Christmas.
That's another idea.
I mean, everybody wants one of those.
Well, you know what? You want one of those so that you can download movies so you can watch them in the cab because when you're driving with auto steering, you got nothing better to do but watch movies.
That's right.
And every farmer listening to this knows I'm being ironic. That was funny.
That was.
There's plenty to do in the cab when you're running a piece of equipment. So.
Well,
good to talk to you.
You too, Willie. Thank you so much for the time. Let's see, after the first of the year, I think the first thing always on the calendar is like the American Farm Bureau Convention. Cindy will be attending that one, but we got a January, February, March schedule that's pretty full already, and I'm sure yours is too.
It's full, but I'm planning a vacation the first week of March, so that'll be fun. Oh, so. But anyway, yeah, I'm sure I'll catch you at some meeting somewhere. We'll see you soon.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Willie Vogt. He is an ag nerd just like me, and we love to not only use it, but we like to talk about it, write about it. And frankly, both of us probably spend a lot of time with the question that comes up, hey, Chuck, or hey, Willie, how do we do this on my iPad? You know?
Yeah, we
if
get
I could
that all the time.
Charge for all that time, but
yeah, we don't. But yeah, you're your family's personal help desk.
Exactly.
All right.
Well, thank you again, Willie Vogt, and that is the Zimcast for this week. We hope you have a wonderful Christmas season coming up. I'm Chuck Zimmerman.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.